The OTB Brief. Everything you need to know about sport every morning. Need to get on top of the day's sports news? Well, the OTB Brief is the only sports update you'll need every morning. With all the breaking stories, post-match reaction.
I always look about, you know, teams who've won a league, their mindsets, their body language, their hunger, desire. And I see that so much in this Liverpool team.
And the best bits from off the ball, all in a 10-minute podcast.
Rory McIlroy's game has changed a lot.
The OTB Brief. Weekday mornings from 7:20 a.m. on OTB Sports Radio. Listen on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network.
The Off the Ball Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
It is time for us now to have a chat about basketball, because Basketball Ireland have told the government that their international squads are risking being left behind due to the continued suspension of play due to COVID-19 restrictions. The CEO of Basketball Ireland, Bernard O'Byrne, last week requested that the sports National League clubs be allowed to resume training at level 3 or level 3 enhanced, which we're currently in, ahead of the league restarting on January the 9th. He'd also requested that international squads would be allowed to resume training in strict pods for this month ahead of the European Championships for Small Countries, which are set to take place in Limerick in the summer of 2021. The government, however, are only allowing individual training indoors, with only non-contact training in pods of 15 permitted outdoors. We're joined now by the Irish Women's Under-20s boss and also coach of the IT Carlo men's and women's teams, Martin Conroy. Martin, good evening to you.
How are you doing? Well.
We're in this kind of extremely unfortunate situation for every indoor sport around the country. And understandably, each individual sport has to kind of go and fight its own corner. But what it seems from the letter that was released at the weekend from Basketball Ireland had gone to the government with what seemed to me, at least, a fairly structured plan, including one around cutting down travel for the National League, you know, a lot of testing for Irish international athletes particularly. It seemed a very careful plan that didn't seem to get a whole lot of traction.
Yeah, like it was really well thought out, and the Return to Play group, along with Basketball Ireland, the board, had done a really good job of putting the plan together and bringing it forward to the government. Unfortunately, it just seems to have fallen on deaf ears. You know, I mean, we were going to have testing for players. We were going to have central venues. That, again, as you said, cuts down the travel. It was going to be kind of run on the European model that's out there at the moment in FIBA with all the other countries in Europe playing basketball at the moment.
Well, as Bernard said, there is that massive risk. And at the moment, you're trying to prepare an Irish women's under-20 teams for European championships. How likely are you to be left behind, given that you would have been hoping that your players will be out playing Super League currently?
Oh, 100%. Like, I mean, at the moment, we have players in our squad, and our squad is kind of different to even to all the other international squads, in that we're going to be playing A basketball this year. So you're playing against the best teams in Europe, and most of the girls who are going to be in that squad have not played competitive basketball now since March last year. We had a couple of trials early on in September and got, you know, a good number of kids to come through those trials. We have a couple of kids in the States that are playing, but they're the only two players really on our squad that are playing any kind of competitive basketball at the moment. And it's going to be, you know, an extremely difficult kind of year for us to go through to European championships and not have our girls playing either National League or Super League.
And just to put that in context as well, Martin, this is quite a good group of players that you have with the under-20s now. There's players who have come through and done well at B championships at underage level. And the hope would have been that this was a group who could really kick on at this upcoming European championships then.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I mean, they've come through under-16s with Andy Gill and under-18s with Tommy O'Mahony. And it's kind of like the last group that I had a couple of years ago. Those girls have won the bronze medal in Europe. Like, this group has come through two really good coaches. They're playing Super League, they're playing National League, they're playing college basketball, they're playing school basketball. But now they're playing nothing. And that's the real crux of it for us, you know. We need these kids playing, practicing together, and you know, getting back on the floor where they need to be. And we understand it's a global pandemic. We understand it's an indoor sport, but we can do it safely if we're given the chance.
Well, I guess lobbying and negotiations will continue, but the upshot of this, when you're looking at the time ticking away towards next summer, there won't really be much movement unless something dramatic happens now until at least January. So the whole month of December is going to be lost here.
Yeah, and like we had plans in place over Christmas for our last trial or talent ID day, and then to have a couple of practice sessions over Christmas. At the moment, all of those are lost, as you said. We're looking at hopefully January getting back into being able to do those sessions and move our squad forward. And then when we get down to our last kind of 18, 20, once we get past the talent ID sessions, we're able to give them individual programs that to be able to work on. But again, you know, we're going to be playing against the likes of Spain, Italy, France, you know, Belgium, best teams in Europe. And these teams are playing at the highest level in their countries at the moment, in their Super League, in their National League. And we're not given the opportunity to do that. And it's going to be kind of detrimental to our squad moving forward, because if we're going into a championship in the summer without having any competitive basketball, it's going to be really, really tough on those kids.
Yeah, I was wondering about your potential opponents for next year. So basketball is continuing in leagues across Europe currently?
Everywhere. Ireland is the only country in Europe that basketball has not been played at the top level. So Germany, their Super League, are playing. France, Italy, Spain, Portugal, Latvia, Czech Republic, everywhere. And unfortunately, we're the odd ones out. And like I've seen it from before the season started, how well the clubs have put their plans together to keep everybody safe. And we did a really good job of pre-season and then pre-season games where there was no transmission from player to player in Irish basketball in the 2 months of our pre-season. And I think it's just to be given the chance to prove that we can run this successfully and run it safely is the thing that we'd like to happen, you know.
I hate pitting sports against each other, but there's definitely a feeling out there from, I was chatting to a few boxers in recent weeks who've not been able to train and they're getting ready for Tokyo next year, and you know, qualifiers are on the horizon back in London in the new year, and they've been very limited in terms of the work that they can do, and they see themselves as being elite athletes in exactly the same way as, you know, outdoor sports which have been able to continue at the moment. There must be a certain frustration about the fact that you can watch, you know, the League of Ireland, the rugby, Gaelic games continuing at the moment, but indoor sports have been on a complete hold since we had our restrictions come in a few weeks ago.
Yeah, like there is a frustration, but, you know, I don't want to stop any sport from playing. I mean, I love all sports. I love watching rugby and football, hurling, the whole lot. Like, you know, but what we want is our sport to be played. And as you said, it is very frustrating when you kind of sit back and the excuses that we've been given at the moment, we haven't been given, you know, reasons as to why we can't play. The only thing we're told is that it's indoor. You know, and I don't think that's a good enough reason. Give us the exact reason, the scientific reasons why we cannot play the game indoor. It's been done all over the world. It's been like, if you watch the NBA, you see the way the bubble was put together and like not one case of COVID in the bubble for the month and a half that people were there. When you go to European Championships, it's the same. You're in a bubble. But we need to get to that bubble by being able to practice ourselves. And, you know, the government needs to understand that we want to be able to play, but we want to do it safely as well. We're not just going to kind of do it willy-nilly, if you know what I mean.
Given that Basketball Ireland set up their independent medical group to try and get games back underway a couple of months ago, is there a feeling maybe that, you know, basketball doesn't have the lobbying within politicians at the moment in order to be able to get back underway? Because I've no doubt there was substantial lobbying for those outdoor sports that we just mentioned a few minutes ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, like the three big sports are the three big sports, and they're that for a reason. They're played by lots of people in this country and enjoyed by lots of people in this country, myself included. We're the biggest indoor sport in this country. We don't seem to have the same clout as, you know, any kind of big sport like the soccer, the rugby, the GA. But like, we're trying hard. You know, we want to get our players back on the floor. Our players want to get back on the floor. And I just think it takes maybe one or two people to recognize the really good plans that have been put in place to make sure that we get there safely. And hopefully someone will open their eyes to see that, you know.
And for those who want to get back on the court, the decision was made by the Men's National League Council on Saturday afternoon that you know, the Division One and Super League competition for the men's won't be getting back underway as planned in early January. Decisions will be made, I think, later this week on the Women's League. The Cup is still up in the air at the moment, but I'd imagine that's kind of heartbreaking for any player who's been waiting to see if they can get back onto the court, that this season between 2021 has now been lost entirely.
Yeah, like, I mean, nearly all of the players haven't been able to play, as I said, since last March. We missed out on playoffs last year. We missed out on nearly the full first half of the season this year. You can understand why that decision was made. I also commend the women for making the decision that they've made, just to hold off for a while and see if it gets better. It comes back to the frustrating thing. I'm sure all those players are frustrated, but they also just want to get back on the floor and just want to play. You know, I mean, they knew how much of a privilege it was to be able to do our preseason and be able to practice while other sports weren't able to do it. And, you know, they want to get back to that situation again and make sure that we can get our sport back to where it was maybe, you know, 2020 early in the year and, you know, 2019, you know.
You would have been coaching IT Carlo in the league. Can you understand why the decision was made so early? Because I saw, you know, some clubs are kind of wondering if last week of November was too early to make a call about potentially coming back in January 3rd, maybe wait and see what happens and, you know, see if decisions can be made. But I guess from looking at the press release that came out on Saturday afternoon, the feeling was from the committee that made that decision that they had to give clarity to clubs so that they're not wasting their time holding on to see if it's going to happen.
Yeah, like, I mean, lots of clubs nearly every club has brought in, you know, professional players to play, be it a professional player or be it a student scholar. And, like, I can understand both sides, to be honest. And I'm not sitting on the fence, but it's just, you know, when you see the amount of clubs and the amount of money that's actually been spent on basketball in the last 3 months, you can understand why they want, you know, a decision made. Are we going to have a league? Do we bring back in our Americans? Or, you know, the Americans that are here, do we send them home? Because it is an enormous cost to those clubs. And, like, the Resilience Fund, while it was good, is probably not, you know, as good as it could be. You know, there's probably a lot of clubs out there in trouble now because of the fact that they've brought in professional players to play. And those guys still have their contract and they have to be paid, you know. So one way I can see that it was the right decision to make, and in another way, you know, personally myself, I would prefer if they held off maybe a little while longer, but I can understand the reasoning behind it.
When it comes to the international teams then and potentially being able to train again, Basketball Ireland were saying that they were pushing towards trying to get some limited pods in a very safe environment to be able to train, to allow international training to get back underway in earnest. How much of a help would it be for you and preparing your team for next summer if at least you could get limited pods back into a court and training together again?
Massive. You know, I mean, something like that would be just fantastic for us. I mean, we have kids from all around the country involved in this squad, like from the north, from Galway and Mayo and that area, from down in Cork and Kerry and Waterford, you know. So, like, if we can do pods, that's fine. You know, we can have our pods, we can go and coach in those pods, and at least those kids are getting some basketball. And if that doesn't happen, it's going to be really, really tough on this group unless we get, you know, right back into our practice in January. But, like, if we can get, you know, just the elite status there, that, you know, we can play indoors. And these kids are elite athletes. I mean, these kids are working out every single day. And, you know, they deserve the chance to represent their country properly. And that's only going to happen if they're going to be able to practice.
Yeah, and as you say, I guess every kind of week or month that goes by, you've got those players not playing while their direct competitors are getting, you know, first-class basketball elsewhere. And you're already kind of playing catch-up with Ireland with some of these countries anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, especially at A level, this will only be our second time ever in A basketball. And, like, the teams you're playing against, nearly every player will have professional players, semi-pros, kids who are playing Division One basketball in the States. So, like, we did so well 2 years ago to get where we got to in Montenegro at this age group, especially because it's that age group, there's a crossover, I suppose, where kids are going to college and, you know, they're probably taking time away from the sports they want to play. But we were lucky enough to have that group together. and got the bronze medal and now get promoted to A. But it's, you know, playing against the likes of France and Italy and Spain and these teams, Russia. I mean, not only are you behind the eight ball before you start, but like this really throws another curveball at us where we have to, you know, work harder to make sure that we're competitive.
Martin, we've had a few texts in from people just wondering in terms of why not just train outdoors? My nine-year-old plays GA on a Saturday morning, is allowed to pass it around outdoors. Then he walks 200 metres to a basketball court. He can't pass the ball. It's ridiculous. His soccer training can also go on as normal, passing, tackling, etc. Is there merit if you could train outdoors, or do you really need to be indoors to actually train on courts to be prepared?
Just going to the first point first, I mean, it's bizarre some of the rules that came in about basketball outdoors in the start, where you weren't allowed to pass the ball. You're not allowed to pass the ball when you're practicing basketball outside. You have to have your own ball, basically. So you're basically doing individual work as a group. Playing outdoors, basketball is an indoor sport. Mm. I mean, do you want to go and play hurling indoor, or football indoor, or rugby indoor? I don't think so. They're outdoor sports, and like I, as I said, I have no issue with those sports being played. I think it's fantastic that we have some sport to watch, but like we have facilities now that are good enough with proper ventilation that we're able to play safely and able to run, even if it's pods, as we said, that we're able to use our pods of six or whatever it is and get past that. That's basically where I'd stand on that. You know, I mean, I think that it's just about us getting back to practicing, you know.
What seems very curious to me as well is that we're preparing to host this small countries championship in the summer coming, and still we're, 7 months out from that, and the leagues can't continue, training is on hold currently. Is there any concern about that event actually taking place next summer? I mean, I know a lot changes with COVID very quickly.
Yeah, it's so fluid. You don't know. I hope not. It's a fantastic tournament for us to be able to host here. And Limerick is a fantastic venue. You know, I just hope that, you know, maybe come February, we'll see that there might be a vaccine going around and, you know, our guys can then prepare properly for the 4 months they'll have, maybe before the tournament starts. And hopefully the rest of Europe will be in a better place. But as I said to you earlier on, when it comes to those tournaments, you're kind of like in a little bubble anyway, if you know what I mean. You know, you're in your team hotel, you're staying together, you're eating together. You know, I'm sure they'll be testing every day with those players. So, you know, that'll be done safely and done very well.
Well, hopefully, in terms of your team getting ready for preparations for next summer, you'll be able to get back on the court and actually get some training happening soon, even if it is in small individual pods. Martin, thanks a million for joining us on Off the Ball this evening.
The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.